أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. وقد قال تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, firstly we should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us an opportunity of seeing a new Islamic year, leave alone a new year. Every day we should be making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us a dua, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعد ما أماتنا وإليه النشور. That a person should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that opportunity of seeing another day or another month or another year is only a bounty from the side of Allah. Normally people, they celebrate a new year or they will celebrate their birthday, etc. A person can only celebrate or a person celebrates something that he has achieved. Whereas this opportunity of seeing another year or another day is no achievement of ours. It is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then instead of celebrating, we're supposed to be showing our shukr and gratitude to Allah. When you look at the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, how did they show that shukr? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Among the nafil fast that he used to keep, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an sawmi yawm al-ithnain. He was asked about the fasting of Monday. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمٌ بُعِثْتُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Nabi said, the reason why I keep this fast, because that was the day that I was born, and that was the day that I was given nubuwat. So this is a bounty from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person is supposed to be showing gratitude by making some ibadat, and showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is grateful. If you look at the last hajj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered 63 camels with his own hands. Muhaddiseen mentioned, ulama have written, that one of the wisdoms of it was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had lived for 63 years, and for every year Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered an animal. So this is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah allowed us to see another year. So that's the first thing I wish to mention. Secondly, normally when a person, his financial year ends, then he takes stock of what had happened for the past year or the previous years, whether he's making a profit or whether he's breaking even. If he's breaking even or he's making a loss, then this person, he will become worried. Sometimes he'll even lose sleep over it also. Why? Because he has made so much of effort, but he's not seeing the fruits of that effort. Why is it that we do not have the same attitude with regards to our deen? That each time we are taking an account of our deeni matters, whether we are improving or not, or for the last 50 years or 20 years or 10 years, The way our condition of deen was, the same condition remains and is continuing. As one Buzuk mentions, there should be dun or diyan, that there should be a worry and a concern. Just as we have that worry and concern with regards to our worldly things, the same attitude should be with regards to our deen. Now the next question is, what is deen? Unfortunately today we have abbreviated deen also. So when you look at Quran and Sunnah, then we realize that deen is made up of five branches. The first is a person's aqidah, that is a person's beliefs. The second is a person's ibadat, a person's worship, his salah, his zakat, his fasting, his hajj. Third is a person's mu'amalat, a person's business dealings. The fourth is a person's mu'asharat, a person's social dealings. What are the rights of one's parents? What are the rights of one's children? What are the rights of one's neighbors? Etc. And the fifth one is a person's akhlaq, a person's character. In the verse that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu adkhulu fis silmi kaffa. O those who have brought iman, enter into Islam completely. And the only time a person can be a complete Muslim, when he has these five branches in his life. When he has this five branches in his life. But as I mentioned, unfortunately, we are deficient in this also. We find we are picking and choosing. There are some people that they feel that they just have to read the kalima and that is enough. And they say, I just have to read the kalima, I don't have to practice anything after that. And they leave it as that. Then you get some people, they will worry about their beliefs. But then they are deficient as far as the ibadat is concerned. Or they may be making the ibadat. But they're not doing it the way they're supposed to do it. Then you get some that they are very, very cautious about their beliefs, they're very cautious about the ibadat. But when it comes to business, then they're not worried about it. So like this we find that people are picking and choosing when it comes to deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the past nations who did the same thing. That they picked and they chose whatever suited them. So Allah ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Are you believing in part of the kitab? And some parts you just leave it out, you abandon it? فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And what is going to be the outcome of such a person who does not have complete deen? It's only going to be humiliation. We always desire the past glory of Islam. We desire what the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum had, the victories that they had. But ask ourselves the question, that do we have the same level of deen that they had? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this new year Allah is giving us an opportunity now to take stock. And let us take stock of our deen. If you look at a person's aqidah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu aminu. Look at the words of Quran also. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers. And He's saying, oh, those who have brought iman, literally translation, oh, those who have brought iman, bring iman. Now Mufassirin go into a discussion, Allah is speaking to believers, why must He tell them to bring iman? So one of the tafsirs that they give is, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu bil qawl, ay aminu bil qalb. That, oh, those who have brought iman, verbally, now bring iman with your heart also. How much of that iman has entered into that heart? The first thing we bring iman is in Allah. Are we just listening to that CD of the 99 names of Allah and how beautifully it's sung? But how much of those 99 names have come deep into my heart? That when I'm saying Allah is Sami, Allah is all hearing, How much of it has really entered into my heart that I, whatever I'm saying, whatever I'm doing, Allah knows about it. Allah is Alim. Allah is Basir. So we're hearing those names, but has the conviction of it entered into our hearts? Then the next thing we believe in is on the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. We believe in all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, but we only follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. How much has the conviction of the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam entered into our hearts? One Buzub says very nicely. He says that the West tells us to put our pants above our knees. We are prepared to do that. The Nabi of Allah tells us to put our pants above our ankles. That we're feeling hard to do. How much of the conviction of the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has entered into our hearts? Then we go to the next one. We believe in all the malaika, all the angels. We all know that we have got angels that are writing down our deeds and what we are saying. They are known as katibin. They are writers of whatever we are doing, whatever we are saying. Are we conscious that they are writing everything that we are saying? If we were conscious, then we wouldn't have said anything which is wrong. Like that, we can take all our aqidah. What is our belief regarding the akhirat? Jannat is haqq. Jahannam is haqq. On the day of Qiyamah, we have to give hisab, kitab. That is also haqq. How much of the consciousness of that has come into our hearts? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed a sahabi that was sleeping. And Nabi sallam wakes him up. Nabi sallam asks him, Kaif asbahta ya Harith? In what condition have you woken up, O Harith? He replies, Asbahtu mu'minan haqqa. I've woken up in a condition as a true believer. Now you know you're making a statement that I'm a true believer. Nabi Sam says, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَ وَمَا حَقِيقَةُ قَوْلٍ. For everything there's a proof. What's a proof? That you have got true iman and complete iman. And what he replies? He says, my condition is such as though I can see Jannat in front of me, as though I can see Jahannam in front of me. The consciousness of it is right in front of me. So if a person has got that condition, do you think he'll ever do anything wrong? He's worried at all times. So this is our aqidah. And aqidah and beliefs is such a thing that we have to be very, very careful. There is no shortcuts here. We can't move one inch away from what is our beliefs. Because the foundation of all our a'mal is based on our beliefs. If our beliefs is not correct, then our a'mal will not be accepted. If you take a disbeliever in the month of Ramadan, with all his sincerity, if he keeps all that fast, and he does exactly what he's supposed to do, he's not going to get any reward. Why? He doesn't have iman. Iman, his aqidah and his belief is wrong. So if a person's beliefs is not correct, all his a'mal are not accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no shortcuts when it comes to a person's beliefs. And there's no interpretations that what I feel and what the next person feels. The second stage and the second branch that we have spoken about is a person's ibadat. Here we got our salah, we got our zakat, we got our fasting and our hajj. What is the condition of our salah? Leaving alone our salah, what is the condition of our wuzu? There was a buzuk. Once he had made wuzu, and maybe unconsciously he forgot to make khilal of the fingers, and he slept away. That night he sees Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, what sin have I have committed that you left out the khilal of the fingers? Now if me and you were there, you would have said, no, inshallah, next time I will make the khilal. But this saint, immediately he wakes up. You see, when there's a worry and a concern, immediately he wakes up. He goes and makes a fresh wuzu with that khilal. Even though he never had to do it, his first wuzu was correct. He finished all the farais, he had done all the farais. But if you left out a mustahab or you left out a sunnah, then you got less reward. He went and made a fresh wuzu. He went and performed his salah all over again, even though the first salah was correct. So this was that worry and concern that I must correct my action. If a person had just stepped into the masjid with the left foot, and then he comes right to the front, and then he realizes I should have entered with the right foot. One is he will say, no, next time I'll do it. And one is he'll go all the way back, and then he will step in again with the right foot. So then in future, he'll never make the same mistake. Likewise, we take our zakat. Are we going to the ulama and finding out what are the masail with regards to it? Like that, all our other ibadat. We have to see that we have to take account of it to see whether we are improving or whether we are continuing in the same old ways. Then we come to our mu'amalat, our business dealings. Here also we find that many people feel that our business dealings got nothing to do with deen. They're not interested about halal and haram, how they earn their wealth, how they spend their wealth. Whereas two of the questions of the five questions that will be asked on the day of Qiyamah before a person can move. Min ayna iktasabta wa min ayna anfaqta. That where did you earn this wealth and where did you spend your wealth? Two questions out of five questions on the day of Qiyamah before you can even move will be about a person's wealth. And as we know that if a person does not eat halal also, his du'as are not accepted also. His du'as are not accepted. A person doesn't get the enthusiasm of doing good deeds when he doesn't eat halal. So our mu'amalat also, our business dealings must be everything correct. Then we come to mu'asharat and akhlaq. That is a person's social dealings. Each one is a subject on its own. But just to show the importance of a person's mu'asharat, what are the rights of one's parents? What are the rights of one's children? What are the rights of one's neighbors? What are the rights of one's workers? Or the people that we are working for? Or the people that are working for us, what are their rights? What was the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We need to ask ourselves the question, if we look at all the five branches, 3/5 is our interaction with others. 2/5 is a person's aqidah and a person's ibadat are related with a person's personal self. And the other 3/5 is with relation with another person, other people. Why is it that so much of our deen shows so much of emphasis with regards to our dealings with others? If you look at the population of Muslims in the whole world, it must be about 20%. And the other 80%, how are they going to see our deen? They are not there to see us reading our salah. They are not there to see us fasting. They're going to notice us in our akhlaq. They're going to notice us in our mu'amalat. They're going to notice us in our mu'asharat, in our dealings. Did we ever ask ourselves the question, as so many years have passed, how many people were affected by our akhlaq? How many people were affected with our mu'amalat and mu'asharat and they accepted iman because of that? Let's look at the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We just mentioned two incidents and inshallah we will complete. Zayd bin Haritha, we all know that he was the slave of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came from a very noble family. But he was captured, according to Mufassirin, he was captured by a tyrant person and he was kidnapped and he was sold as a slave in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu anha purchased him and she gave him as a gift to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he is a young boy. He's living with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somehow his father, his parents, his father and his uncle found out that he's in Makkah al-Mukarramah. They come with a big sum of money. And they come and present it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, we will give you this wealth, you give us back our son. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave the wealth, I don't want the wealth. But I will not force him to go with you. Let's give him the choice. If he decides to go with you, he can go. He's a young boy, staying with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who's in front of him? His own father, his own uncle. And who he chooses? He chooses Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq was such towards me that I cannot leave him. Now just imagine a person who's a young person. He's being affected by a person's akhlaq. He's prepared to forego his family, everything, just for the sake of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a Jew in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name was Zayd bin Sana'a. In Hayatul Sahaba, this incident is mentioned. That once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janazah salah. And after he completed, a person comes to him and says, Ya Rasulullah sallam, my people, I have some need, some financial need for my people. Nabi Sallam did not have anything at that moment, but this Jew, who was an alim of the Torah, he overheard this, and he was prepared to loan Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a load of dates. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted the loan, and he gave it to this person, and he went away. Now obviously there was a term, when after the term was over, the Nabi Sallam was going to pay the person. But before the term was over, the Zayd bin Sana'a comes. Harshly he speaks to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In front of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he pulls the cloth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was wearing, with so much force, that it left a mark on the neck of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. And he speaks harshly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, demanding his money before time. The Zayd bin Sana'a, he says, I look around to see what was the reaction of Sahaba. And my eyes fell on Umar radiallahu anhu. And we know Umar radiallahu anhu was very furious. He says that his eyeballs, I could see from his eyeballs how red it was getting and how angry he's getting. His one hand was already on his sword. And he says that, O enemy of Allah, do you know who you're speaking to? You are speaking to the Rasul and the Nabi of Allah. And then this Zayd bin Sana'a says, I look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I see he is cool and calm. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, O Umar, this is not how I expected you to behave. This behavior of yours is not going to help me. You should actually have said, you should have actually addressed me and said that I should fulfill my debt. And you should have addressed the Zayd and told him that he should ask in a better way. That should be have been your response. But now you have threatened him. And now you have threatened him. So now because of that, you go to the Baytul Mal. Go and pay him his debt and give him a little bit extra also because you threatened him. And now the Zayd bin Sana'a, he goes with Umar radi anhu. Umar anhu gives him that money and he gives him that extra. He asks Umar, why are you giving me this extra? He says, no, I'm giving you this extra because Nabi Sallam said, because I threatened you, I have to give you that extra. He said, no. You're only owing me this amount. And then he reveals who he really is. That he is one of the alims from the Jews. Umar Anu said, you're an alim and you behaved in this way when you know he's the Nabi of Allah. He says, no, I was just testing Nabi Sallam. I'd seen all the signs of Nabi Sallam in our book. The one sign about the tolerance of Nabi Kareem Sallam was left. And that I could not see from the features. I had to physically go and test Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I tested him and he passed the test. So it's a lesson for us. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِي أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That if someone does good to you and you do good to him, there's no greatness in that. Someone does evil to you and then you do good to him, then there's greatness in that. And that was the tariqah and the way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we had mentioned in the beginning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you enter into deen completely. And entering into deen into completely means that a person has his aqidah correct, His ibadat must be correct. His muasharat must be correct. His akhlaq must be correct. And also his muamalat and business dealings. All these five branches, when it comes into his life, then he can say that he is a complete mu'min and a complete believer. And then when he has this in his life, then you will see he doesn't have to talk also. Others will just get affected with his life and they will accept iman. So Allah has given us another opportunity, a new year, where we can take hisab kitab and we can take account of all our life in the past and we can correct it. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. And Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq of becoming complete believers. And Allah give us the tawfiq and that He gives us the worry and concern that we need to be concerned about our deen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.